Well, let's open up our Bibles at Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts 10 verse 38. This is page 1104 in your church Bibles. Just to say that over the month of August, we are having these summer specials on Sunday mornings. We're still in our series on Faith Odyssey on Sunday evenings. But Sunday mornings, we've got these summer specials. Usually we're working our way through Mark's Gospel. But because there's people coming and going on holiday, that would be interrupted. So we're saving that until September. So meanwhile, we've got these summer specials coming up. Last Sunday, we looked at Jeremiah chapter 29, where God told his people to embrace life now, but to look forward to heaven. We notice that there's that difficult balance. We're like the person that goes one way and then another way. Martin Luther spoke about the drunk German peasant trying to ride a donkey. You put him on the donkey and off he goes. You put him on the donkey the other side, off he goes. And we're so often like that in life. But we need to be balanced. And to be a balanced Christian is to be someone that really embraces life. Because life, there's so much life to live. There's shalom to be had. But at the same time, realizing this life's not everything. There's even something better that's coming. So that was last week. Now, this week really comes out of some of the things that I was trying to reason with and get to grips with last week. And it's all about the reason why we live. The reason, or one of the reasons, why I'm alive, and one of the reasons why you are alive. I want to tell you, first of all, about two courageous women, very courageous women. First woman is this, Gail Williams. She went to Afghanistan in order to do good to others. She went to be a blessing to people. She was a brave Christian lady who had gone to Afghanistan to help disabled children. She worked with the poorest children there, young boys and girls who had lost limbs to landmines and bombs. She went to serve. She went to give. She went to be a blessing to others. At 8 o'clock on one Monday morning, the 21st of October, 2008, this Gail Williams, who was 34 years of age, was shot dead by the Taliban. Some gunmen on the motorbike rode up beside her as she walked along a tree-lined street in Kabul, and they shot her dead. Her mother said about her this: Gail was serving a people that she loved and felt God called her to be there for such a time as this. We know her life was blessed, and she was a blessing to those around her. No one could have asked for a more humble daughter with a loving heart. She was 34 years of age, and her mother was heartbroken. And yet, she said this: we know her life was blessed, and she was a blessing to those around her. What a reputation to have, to be a blessing to those around you. Why did Gail Williams go to Afghanistan? She went to do good to people, to be a blessing to people. The other courageous woman I want to tell you about was 36-year-old Dr. Karen Wu. She also went to Afghanistan to do people good. She was working with a Christian agency called I Am, the International Assistance Mission. She had given up a well-paid job with Bupa. She was the assistant medical director there. She'd gone to Afghanistan to use her medical skills for the good of others in that country. She specialized in eye care for other people, but also she did surgery. And more often than not, she was involved in putting people's bodies back together after they'd been caught up in a bombing somewhere. She gave her life to serve others, to do them good. Not just in Kabul, the center, but also she and her team went out on dangerous missions around the country of Afghanistan. She spent 2 weeks with a team of 10 people covering about 100 miles through the Hindu Kush Mountains. Much of that terrain is inaccessible to cars, so they had to go on foot or by horses. She went on this trek to bring medical care to impoverished villages in Nuristan province. They'd completed their 2-week trek. They were on their way home, resting under some trees, when their attackers appeared. They killed the 10 members of the team. They let one man go for one reason or another. But they killed 10 members of the team. They killed some by throwing grenades at them. They killed the others by lining them up and executing them. This was 17 days ago on the 5th of August. Karen Wu was shot dead either by Taliban or by opportunistic bandits. Why had she gone to Afghanistan? Well, from her own blog, she says this: I went to improve the lives of others. What we are doing is hopefully helping people. Too right, they helped people. What we are doing is hopefully helping people. In her blog before that final journey, she wrote this: this trek scares the living daylights out of me. So why did she go? Why continue? For the good of others, to be a blessing to others. Her fiancé, who she was due to marry this week, wrote this about her: Karen is quite an extraordinary person who brought a smile to the face of everyone she met. What a gift to have, to bring a smile to the face of everyone you meet. Gail Williams and Karen Wu, they live to do good to others. Cindy Lauper tells us that girls just want to have fun. Maybe, maybe not. Nothing wrong with having fun. And if you should read Karen Wu's blog, you'll see that she had fun while she was out there. But some girls want to do more than just have fun. Gail Williams and Karen Wu wanted to serve others. They wanted to be a blessing to others. They wanted to improve the lives of others. They wanted to do good to others. Read Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. You notice the middle part of that verse, how he went around doing good. He went around doing good. Literally, physically, he walked this earth. He traveled. He passed through places doing good. He went around, just going around. This past week, my family have been away for one reason or another, which meant that I had one night I could watch John Wayne DVD. This John Wayne DVD is like, they're all exactly the same, aren't they, the John Wayne DVDs? And you've got this gunslinger in town, and John Wayne says to him, what are you doing here? He says, just going around. Just going around. And how many people are just spending their lives just going around? That's all they're doing, just going around. Jesus, it says, went around. But notice the next few words. He went around doing good. Not just existing on planet Earth, but going around doing good. He went through life doing good. He went through the country doing good. He went amongst people doing good. This verse also gives us an example of one way that he did good. It says he healed all who were under the power of the devil. That's just one example of how he set people free and how he was a blessing to others. You can read the Gospels with this in mind, and you can also see the many other ways that Jesus did good to people. For example, he helped people, he fed people, he taught people, he talked with people, he listened to people, he developed people, he comforted people, he enabled people. Read the Gospels, make a list as long as your arm, read them with this specifically in mind. How did Jesus do that person good? How do you think of Jesus? You'll think of him as a teacher, no doubt, one who preached sermons, and his sermons were magnetic sermons that drew people to him. He preached unforgettable sermons like the Sermon on the Mount. But he wasn't just a teacher. He did good, went around doing good. You think of him as a savior dying on a cross for our sin. And so he did, and we would never be forgiven had he not died for us on the cross. The cross is absolutely essential, and ultimately, it is the ultimate way that Jesus did people good, by dying to save us. But through his life, he also went around doing good. We think of our Savior as Lord and King, the undefeated champion of the world, King of kings and Lord of lords, and rightly so. But also he went around as a humble Savior, serving others, doing them good. And this verse tells us Jesus went around doing good. And if we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, then we too are to go around doing good. Gail Williams did. Karen Wu did. Countless other people have done so. Are we? Do we count it one of the reasons why we live to go around doing good? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he said, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." We're created to do good works. As Christians, we are expected to be like Jesus, and he went around doing good, and we are his disciples who should seek to do the same. Come to Titus chapter 2, part of our Bible reading this morning. Keep a marker in Acts chapter 10, because we're coming back there towards the end of this message. But come to Titus chapter 2 and see what the Apostle Paul urged upon Titus to paste thick upon the people who heard him. To stress it, he says, to stress these things. So Titus chapter 2, page 1199, Church Bible. Titus 2 verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to evangelize, eager to pray, eager to sing songs of worship, eager to do what is good." Because that's being like Jesus. Why does God redeem a people for himself and purify a people for himself? Note that in verse 14, Jesus gave himself to redeem us and purify us. We know that Jesus did that on the cross. And you will know if you're a regular attender here that we emphasize this ever such a lot, that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And if you're here just for a one-off this morning, you might think we're just a church that's just interested in doing good works. We are really interested in doing good works. But we do it because Jesus died on the cross for us. And that's what we emphasize so often throughout the year. But this verse here tells us why Jesus died for us. So often our response to Jesus dying on the cross for us is, well, let's sing a song of worship. Well, that's great. But is that enough? No. And other times our response is, well, Jesus has died upon the cross for me, therefore, thank you, Lord. And true, right, we should be thankful. But how do we show our gratitude? How do we show our worship? How do we show a life of service given over for Jesus? Eager to do what is good. Jesus died to take away our sin, to propitiate the wrath of God, in order that we might do good. Well, did Paul just have a theological blip there in chapter 2, verse 14? No. Look at chapter 3 of Titus. Chapter 3. "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good." To be ready to do whatever is good. What should we be ready to do? We must pray always, we must worship, we must evangelize, but we must be ready to do whatever is good. And now in that word, whatever, it's not like the whatever, it's like, you know, whatever is good. You can pack so much into this whatever is good. So what are some of the good things that we should be doing? Well, we've already mentioned some of them. We should be praying for others. That is a good work, to pray for others. It's one of the greatest goods that we can ever do is to pray for someone in need, to pray for the nations, to pray for the persecuted church, to pray for people in hospital, to pray for people in danger. We need to pray for people. And when you're praying for someone, you are like Jesus, doing good to that person. Another way, whatever way of doing good, is by sharing the gospel with that person, evangelizing that person. Jesus did that. Jesus went around preaching the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he was doing good to others because he was showing them the way of escape from hell. And when we show people the way of escape from a Christless eternity, that's doing them good. So when we tell people the gospel of Jesus, we are like Jesus in doing people good. So our people should be ready to do whatever is good. Pray, witness. But let's put a third thing in there. Let's put caring. Caring. For Jesus cared for people. He so cared for people. He cared for the disadvantaged, for the poor, for the physically and mentally challenged, for those with special needs. He would care for those in debt, with those with addiction. And when we care for people like this, trying to rebuild people's lives after a disaster, a divorce, or a bereavement, then when we care for people, we're being like Jesus, doing them good. So Titus 3 verse 1 says our people should be ready to do whatever is good. What is the whatever? It's at least evangelism, caring, and praying. And it's probably more beside. Well, Paul actually does continue to say these things in chapter 3 verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. What are Christians to be devoted to? Doing what is good. What is Titus to stress? Note this word in the NIV here, verse 8, stress these things. And that idea of stressing, it's not sort of being all stressy and getting stressed out about it, but telling people again and again and again, stressing it, underlining it, highlighting it with fluorescent pens, stressing this so that every church with a pastor will say, our pastor's always going on about something or other. You say it about me, I'm sure. There's something I'm always going on about, no doubt. And I want to stress that thing. And if you went to the church there in Crete, where Titus was one of the pastors, then they would say, what's your pastor always going on about? They say, well, he's always stressing that we've got to do good things. He's always stressing it. Every Sunday, he prays about it. Every Sunday, he tells us, do something good this week. Do good things. And if you should ask Titus, why are you on that stress about being good again? And he'd say, well, you see, I've got my apostolic command. I've got this letter from the Apostle Paul. You know, Apostle Paul saw the risen Jesus, could do miracles, and like he was an apostle, so you can't really argue with him, can you? And he's actually told me what I need to stress, and this is what I need to stress. Go and do good. Chapter 3, verse 14. In case we haven't got the message, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. For so many people are wasters and live unproductive lives. But our people, meaning Christian people, disciples of Jesus, must learn to devote themselves to this. What are you devoted to? Devote yourself to doing what is good. Paul speaks about learning, verse 14. Our people must learn. One of the reasons we come along to church is that we might learn. We come to worship, we come for fellowship, we want to learn the scriptures. And what do we want to learn? Well, we want to learn the great heights of theology, don't we? And we want to learn about the sovereignty of God. We want to learn about his decrees and his creation and his work. We want to learn about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross. We want to learn about justification by faith and sanctification. And we want to learn about glorification and all the other shuns there are. We want to learn about all these things. Rightly so. But if that's all we're interested in learning about, just so that we can go and jaw theology with someone else, then we haven't quite got the message of the New Testament. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good. This is why Christianity is such a blessing to the world. Despite what the popular writer Dawkins says, religion doesn't do anyone any good. Well, maybe some of it doesn't do anyone any good. But Christianity is the best thing ever. Because Christians are redeemed to do good. Christians are ready to do whatever is good. Christians are people who have devoted themselves to doing good. Observe it. Just one person becomes a Christian. Watch their lives. Watch how they change. See how they develop in their lives. See the good they begin to do to others. Imagine that with a whole lot of people becoming Christians. It's called sort of a revival. Imagine that. Loads of people becoming Christians. They're all eager to do good to others. What would that do to the neighborhood? What would it do to the community? A whole lot of people eager to do what is good. So what are we this morning? We're down in numbers this morning. What are we here? About 170 here? Imagine if every one of us this morning, we went out from this place and this week say, I am eager to do what is good. Whatever is good, I'm going to do it. Imagine if we wanted to do that. You know, Jesus said that we are to love our neighbor. And someone once said to Jesus when he said that, all right then, who's my neighbor? And how do I show love to him? And Jesus said, well, look, there was this man. He was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, I've been down that, not walking it, but on a coach. And Jericho's below sea level. Your ears pop as you go down there. And it's a road which is an unwelcome road. It's a sunburnt land down there. And this man, Jesus said, is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And sure enough, there was a gang of robbers, a group of muggers there. And they set upon this man. They didn't just rob him. They actually beat him up and they left him half dead, Jesus said. Well, a little while later, a priest happened to be going down the same road. He sort of observed what was happening here, or what the result of the robbing was, and he just walked on by the other way. And then Jesus said later on, a Levite came exactly the same road, again saw the man lying there, but again crossed over the other side and just went on the other way. Then Jesus said, there was a Samaritan. He came down exactly the same road. He saw where the man was, and he went right to him. And as he got right to him, he saw the mess this man was in. So he began to pour oil and wine into this man's wounds. He began to soothe some of his wounds. He bandaged him up. And then he put him on his donkey and he took him to the nearest inn. And he said to the innkeeper, I'm going to give you so much money to look after this man. I've got to go off on business. I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I will reimburse you for any other extra expenses this man has had. What is it to love someone? Why is that Samaritan called the good Samaritan? It's because he did good. And the way that we show we love people is by doing them good. So popular opinion, how do you show you love someone? Well, you'll feel good about them. You'll feel sentimental about them. You'll say nice words to them. Yep. But what about when you don't feel good about them and you don't want to say nice words to them and you don't feel sentimental about them? Because that happens, doesn't it? Yet it's a command to love people. So how can I love someone I don't particularly feel nice and sentimental about? By doing good to them. That's the command, you see. The command to love people is to do good to people. And this is what our Savior did. He did good to people. But how can we do this? Because you're like me, I'm sure, with a self-centered heart, thinking far too much of myself. You probably think far too much of yourself too. We're like that. So how can we have this mentality that I really want to live for others? How can it be that sometimes I'm so twisted and sometimes actually I hurt people and do bad to them? How can I do good to them? How can it be that sometimes when I want to take revenge and make people pay for the wrong they have done, that actually I should be doing them good? And how can it be for a person who's lazy and can't be bothered because it's effort to help people, then how can we do this? How can we help people? Just by ourselves, mustering up some kind of inner goodness which is within us? Well, humanism would say that. But the Bible says you cannot depend upon any human goodness within you because we're depraved through and through. We need first to be redeemed So that's what Titus says, isn't it? Here, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, what in the order of events, when are we eager to do what is good? It's after we have been redeemed and purified. That comes first. We're redeemed to do good. We're saved. And once you're saved, then God has prepared good works for you to walk in. But also, it's not just that. If you look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 6, or verse 5, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ. So who has been poured out on us generously? It's the Holy Spirit. So God has saved us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has anointed us with his Spirit. He has poured his Spirit out upon believers. And this is every believer here. It's not just a few special kinds. All believers have received the Holy Spirit. So it's as we are redeemed and as we are anointed by the Spirit, we can then go and do good. Now come back to Acts chapter 10. Hopefully you marked it in your Bibles. And look again at verse 38. And notice how it was that Jesus, humanly speaking, was able to do good. So much good. Acts 10 verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Exactly the same. It's what we need. This Holy Spirit propels us to do good. And the second part of doing good there, how he went around doing good, healing all who are under the power of the devil, how could he do that? The end of verse 38, because God was with him. God was with him. These two things go together. The anointing of the Spirit and the presence of God in our lives. And this is what believers have. And we need to remind ourselves of this again and again. We've got the Spirit, and God is with us. And as we are submitted to the Lord and consecrated to him and open to him, then we will go around doing good. We will never go around doing good consistently or in a way that's acceptable to God unless we belong to him. So, let's get back to the beginning. Why are we alive? What's one of the purposes of our lives? Our purpose in life is to be a blessing to others. It's to do good to others. Gail Williams and Karen Wu are just two extreme examples of doing good to others. And people's lives in Afghanistan, or some lives in Afghanistan, are better for those two ladies having been there. The Lord Jesus went around doing good, and there were thousands in his day who benefited from that, and there are millions today who are blessed because of the life of our Savior. Read the Acts of the Apostles, see how Peter, James, John, Peter, Barnabas, and all the others blessed whole communities by doing good. Read church history and note thousands and thousands of men and women of God who made this world, for some people, a better place because they went around doing good. You know, this past week, I was talking to a gentleman in the fellowship here, and he happened to mention about his wife. He said, you know about my wife, and I always hate it when someone says that, because I think, what are they going to tell me? And he says, I'll tell you about my wife. She's always doing good for others. What a great thing to be able to say about your partner, your parents, your children, your loved ones. They're always doing good. Along Hollywood Boulevard, there are more than 2,400 five-pointed stars embedded at six-foot intervals over a combined 1.7 miles to mark the fame and glory of those who have entertained us. And we're grateful for people who entertain us because we need it. There's no such boulevard for disciples who do good. It's not marked down here, but I'll tell you what there is. There are two things. When you do good to someone, there is a God in heaven who watches and who records. And Jesus said, even if you should give a cup of cold water in my name, just that, just a cup of cold water, you will not lose your reward. Every little ounce of good that we do, God sees. Our walk of fame is in glory, and it's on streets of gold. The second thing is this. Every time we do someone good, we bless their lives. And Jesus was called to be a blessing to us. And when we bless others, we're like Jesus. So every time a good is done, Someone's life is blessed. Someone is helped. Someone is changed. Someone lives to bless God. For Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And now, today, on planet Earth, in every corner, for the gospel has gone to every place, there are people who are living, who are blessing our loving Heavenly Father because somebody did good to them. Let's determine this morning to be like Jesus, anointed of the Spirit, God with us, to go around doing good. And let's determine to leave people better than when we found them.